Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. This is the reading of God's word. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant an ear to hear your word to all of us who are gathered here to worship you. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished, our eternal realities that we are able to possess already and enjoy already. And Father, through your word, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us have fellowship with him. And let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Cause our faith to grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have begun looking at verse 2 last time. In verse 2, we see who we are. Meaning, we see who are the recipients of this letter. Even though it is addressed to Colossians, because this letter is also God's word, it is written to all the Christians in all ages. It is written to us. And this verse tells us the eternal reality of those recipients, who they are now and forever in Jesus Christ. Thus, it tells us who we are in Jesus Christ. As we have seen last time, we are in Christ. And according to verse 2, we are also the saints and the faithful brethren. We have already studied these things, but let us review. All who are in Christ are also the saints. And that's what we're going to look at. What are the saints? It literally means the holy ones. Holy. It usually refers to the ethical, moral excellence. But biblically speaking, there is also another meaning. First, God is truly holy. God is truly holy. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2a, there is no one holy like the Lord. He is the creator of the whole universe. He is the holy other. There is nothing in this universe that we could compare with our God. But what is astonishing is that this word holy is also attributed to people and things. When that happens, those people and the things are set apart by God for his own purpose. God chooses and sets them apart and they are consecrated unto him. They are made holy for God's glory, to be used for God and in God's work. Thus, God's people are the holy people. The Israelites in the Old Testament were the holy people of God. Not so much in terms of their moral excellence. Of course, this was expected of them. But that they are set apart from all other people to be used for God's glory. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, if you remember, God saved these people out of Egypt for what purpose? Exodus 19, 5 and 6 says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, Then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now these are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2, For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You could see here the Israelites are set apart by God, chosen from all other people, and now Israel is used by God for his own purpose. That's what it means to be holy. It means to be God's possession. And as such, they are given a new purpose. Thus, they cannot live just like any other people. That is why we see God giving them his laws, so that you may live that holy life in obedience to God's laws. Numbers chapter 15 verse 40, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. They now enter into a covenant relationship with God, and we see many holy things in the Old Testament. Some places are holy. Holy land, holy mountain, holy tabernacle, holy temple. It's not that that mountain, holy mountain, is any different from any other mountain. But God chose that mountain, and he sets that mountain apart to be used for his own purpose. That is why that mountain is holy. Some things are holy in the Old Testament. Priestly garments, utensils used in the sacrifice to God. And some times are holy. Sabbath day was a holy day. Jubilee was a holy day. All of these become holy typologically by the sprinkling of the blood of the animals and by anointing of oil. So two things has to happen for things or people to be holy. The blood is sprinkled and the oil was anointed. And these holy things and people must be used for God and only for God. In that sense, we say the Lord's Day is a holy day to the Lord. It is set apart from all the other days. 6 days you work, but on the Lord's Day, it's a holy day. Thus, this day must be used for God, used according to God's will. That you will find in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 and 10 says, But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We saw in Exodus 19, God said a similar thing to the Israelites. But here in 1 Peter, these things are said of the Christians. It is said of you, the church of the New Testament. All who are saved in Jesus Christ, all who are in Christ, the Bible calls them holy, calls them the saints. all the members of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2a, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ, sanctification meaning being more holy, who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. You see, it is not biblical calling only certain special Christians, saints. Because according to the Bible, all Christians are the saints. Just as we saw last time, who we are is not determined by what we do. See, that's how the world will teach you, that who you are will be determined by what you do. But when it comes to Christianity, that is not how who we are is determined. Who we are is determined by what Christ has done for us, what He has accomplished for us. When it comes to answering who are we eternally, we have to go to Jesus Christ and see what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. It has nothing to do with what we do. What we do here on earth has nothing to do with who you are in heaven. Does that mean that you could just live a lazy, bum life? No. You are to live for the glory of God. And you have to diligently do all things for the glory of God. But, once again, it is determined by what Christ has done for us. And Jesus made us holy. We did not become holy by what we have done or what we would do, but Jesus made us holy. He made us the saints. Do you remember how things or people became holy in the Old Testament? I told you before, the blood of the animals are sprinkled and the oil is anointed. The blood of the animal then points to the perfect blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the oil points to the Holy Spirit. You and I, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ died for our sins. He sacrificed Himself as the perfect sacrifice. And His blood cleanses all our sins. And the Holy Spirit, the true oil, lives in us. So the reality that you see in the Old Testament, sprinkling of the blood of the animal and anointing of the oil, that's your reality. It happened to you. Because we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, He lives in us. And we are cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we are holy. We are truly holy in Jesus Christ. But remember, Jesus Christ is the true Holy One. And we are also holy because we are in Him. We are united to Him. God has chosen us and set us apart from this world and sin. We are His saints. We are His Holy Ones. And we must witness this reality in our lives through what we do, what we say, even what we think. As we worship, as we observe the Lord's Day as a holy day, we are witnessing that reality, the reality of being set apart from this sinful world. Even just the fact that we are gathered here unto God to worship, you see your reality of being set apart by God from this world. This is what being holy means, that you will not follow the patterns of the world because you are set apart for God's purpose. See, God is so holy that no sinner can come near to Him. But in Jesus Christ, we have become holy. We are the saints of God. Thus, we come to Him with boldness and with joy in Jesus Christ. Even as we worship our God, we have come into the true Holy of Holies. Only the holy people can come into the Holy of Holies. And heaven is a holy city. And you and I have arrived in that holy city as the holy people of God in Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, all the unholy things are completely destroyed, and all the unholy people will be thrown into hell. Because nothing unholy can enter heaven. But thank God that becoming holy is not up to us. It's not up to what we have to do. Otherwise, all of us will never be holy. But it's only in Jesus Christ. Now, church, then, is an assembly of the saints. Yes, we still sin, and there are many problems in the church, but in Jesus Christ, we are the saints of God. We are holy ones of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, among whom you also are the call of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have become holy and you are becoming more holy in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have become perfectly and completely holy in Jesus Christ. And yes, we are becoming more holy every day of our Christian life here on earth. Both are our realities. By believing in Jesus Christ, we have become holy. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And in Jesus Christ and in Holy Spirit, and through the Word of God, we are being sanctified. We are becoming more holy. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them, meaning make them more holy in the truth, and your word is truth. So it is very clear, God teaches us, that we have already become holy, and in our lives here on earth, we are becoming more holy by the work of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. Now, whenever we see the word saints in the Bible, it is always plural, except in just one place, Philippians chapter 4, verse 21. But even in Philippians chapter 4, verse 21, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So, greet every saint, meaning, you know, everyone. Other than that place, this word saint is always in plural form, saints. And this is important. We have become the saints together. It is not that I alone am holy, but in Jesus Christ, all my brothers and sisters are the saints. We are together the saints of God. And it is not just I who are a saint and lives a life belonging to a saint. We are living the same life together. Thus, we must acknowledge all our church members are the saints, and thus we must love all of them. We see an amazing truth here. Colossian church had many problems, as we will see. The Corinthian church was worse. But in his letter, Paul often even scolds them because they were so bad. And yet, Paul calls all of them the saints. We must do the same. As long as anyone professes to believe in Jesus Christ, and membership of our church will confirm this. If someone is a member of this church, you could be assured that he has been interviewed, he has been asked all these questions, and he answered those questions, and he confessed his faith in Jesus Christ biblically. The session has confirmed all those things. So as long as that he's a member or she is a member, we must treat that person as the saint, as a saint. This is very, very important, brothers and sisters, because, you know, we look at one another, we see how we live out there, you know, even though I don't follow you every day, you don't follow me every day, we kind of know. And there's no way you are a saint or I am a saint if judged according to how we live. And yet, in Jesus Christ, I have to see all of you as the saints of God. This is the biblical truth. Not because you are truly the saints, but because you are in Christ, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you trust Him, and you do your best, maybe not sometimes your best, but you want to obey Him, and if you don't obey Him, you repent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, who we are in this world is temporary, but who we are eternally is determined by our Lord Jesus Christ, like I said before. Thus, we must see each other according to what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. I do not look at you according to what you do, or what you have done, or what will you do while you live here on earth. I must see you in terms of what Jesus Christ has done for you, what He has accomplished for you, I must see you in those terms. Otherwise, then I'm not living by faith. Yes, I might see you sin, I might see you doing some dumb things, but I still have to see you as a saint, because you are in Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that we just, when we see our brother sin, we just leave him alone. No, we gotta do our best to help him not to sin again. But still, we have to see that person as a saint, as a holy person in Jesus Christ. It is amazing how Paul do this. But through Paul, it is God who is doing this. God knows how sinful they are, or they were 2,000 years ago. And yet, God addressed them as the saints, as the holy people. And this is the truth. So until anybody is excommunicated, until then, we need to treat that person as a holy person of God. Otherwise, then it is you who are wrong. As we worship, I, the pastor, must see all of you as the saints, the holy ones of God. And that is what I do every Lord's Day. That's what I need to do. I pray that God will help me to do that. And think about it. If as a pastor, if I just see you and see you as a sinner, and that's all I see, how pathetic we all are, then I'm completely ignoring what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. And I cannot do that. That's not how we start our worship. Not only I see you as the saints, the holy ones of God, but I see you seated, not in those chairs, but you are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You are seated at the right hand of God. That's how I have to see you. And I'm not just imagining this. This is who you are. This is your reality. This is what Christ has done and accomplished for you. This is how we live by faith. You must believe. And I must believe. But we have to admit, when we see each other through the physical eyes, it is impossible to see each other as the saints. But we must believe. That's why we don't live by sight, but we live by faith. So not only you see yourself as saint, but you see others as the saints in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, believe what the Bible says to you. For you and I being holy is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is the will of God, your sanctification. You being holy is the will of God. Is there any doubt that you are holy and you will be holy? If it is the will of God. And this is your reality. As the saints, you are precious to our God. Psalm 16, verse 3, as for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight, God says. Brothers and sisters, believe. You are the majestic ones in whom all God's delight is in. This is our reality of salvation. God delights in you. You, the saints. But if this is true, Then don't you think that we must live as who we are? We must live as the saints. Not because of any other reasons, but because that is who you are. Bible never tells you to become somebody, because you have no ability to become anything. What Bible tells you is what Christ has done for you. You have already become the saints because Christ made you already. And if that is who you are, God says, live as who you are. That is why it is so essential to believe, because if you don't believe, then whatever that you do will not coming out from your faith. And without faith, everything is sin. You're just pretending. Pretending to be good in front of other people. And God is not happy with that. But that you believe what Christ has done for you. And with that faith, then you live that reality that you believe. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12a says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, as those who have been chosen of God, holy, do this, do that, you know, all these commandments follow. As saints then, the holy life is a must. That you are living a set-apart life. You don't do things that world does. Because you are holy, you are set apart. So as the saints, the holy life is a must. There is no other kinds of life for the saints. And I pray that as you go out through that door, that you will remember what Christ has done for you. He made you holy. Let us, on this holy day, as we participate in the holy worship, let us realize and believe how we are set apart from this world and sin, and in our lives, let us witness that set apartness for the glory of our God who made us His saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your love and Your grace. Thank You for the salvation. Thank You for making us holy, the saints. Let us truly remember how You have set us apart from all the other people in this world. And You have set us apart for Your purpose, to live that holy life that witnesses what Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. So as saints, by Your grace, let us live that holy life, the true life that You have already given to us. Bless us. And we pray that You will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.